Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand live from our brand new studios on Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester, where they have built out, I mean, the on-air portion of this broadcast, of this radio station, Zoe, is now, it's got to be twice the size of what we were working with before, between the main studio in between
massive.
The two. I mean, just for on-air, we are working with twice the space here now.
Now, why do we have two studios? I mean, two control rooms. That's interesting. For the back and forth between the shows.
Because those are going to be like multi-purpose. They're not only like control rooms, but you can also do production. And there's a lot of stuff. Jim Louth is going to chime in on this.
We have multiple games. We have three teams.
Yes.
That's true.
Celtics, Bruins, Patriots. We're going to talk about the last of those right now with Dan Shaughnessy.
Plus, you get nominated for a Sports Station of the Year. I mean, you also got that going for you because you'd say, hey, we want another one of those.
So a lot of good stuff happening here. Yeah. And we appreciate all the work they did getting us ready. Rob Gronkowski not going to hold out Dan Shaughnessy.
What do you think about that, Dan?
He is going to show up to training camp. He's going to be there despite all the talk in this offseason of him not playing anymore, the rumors about him wanting the new deal, the thought that it was going to happen, a lot of back and forth. And what it boils down to, nothing to announce yet, but he'll still be there next week.
This is the first of many of these types of announcements, which will take us all the way to the Super Bowl, which will be, you know, all the stuff we talked about.
Are we doing this again?
It doesn't matter.
It's just this is the same way the Red Sox are in the state they're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they need to prove you differently in the postseason.
Exactly.
Like they've been good in the regular season. They've done it.
And, you know, I mean, I do shows all around the country. You know, they call in. They want to talk about all the trauma that the Patriots are going through and all this stuff. And I say, okay, we can do this. We can talk about all this. It doesn't change the fact that none of this will prevent them from getting where they want to go, which is the AFC Championship game. That's the baseline for them. That's the minimum. And I expect, unless Brady gets hurt, that's where this is going. So, yes, Gronk, it's great. Swell, he was going to be there. We've had all the social media and the little hints planted here and there and trying to interpret Instagrams or tweets or Tom versus Times.
Fun versus non-fun.
All this stuff. Yeah, it's like at the end of the day, they are what they are. The competition is what it is, and it sucks, so they will get where they want to get. I mean, the Boston Globe did a series on we have all these contrived notions. Let's do the tight ends. Let's do the cornerbacks. Let's do this. So there was one last week where it was, let's do the AFC East opponents, and let's get up to date on the three of them. And the headline over each one was, Dolphins in rebuild mode. You know, Bills in rebuild mode. Everyone's in a rebuild mode.
Name the Buffalo starting quarterback right now, week one. Go.
Tyrod Taylor.
He's not even there, Dan. So
yeah, that's why I said
that. That one. Right.
No, they were in the playoffs last year, right?
Yes.
How are they in rebuild mode?
They took Jacksonville to the wire in that wild card game.
I know. So, and that was the first playoff game in this century for the Buffalo Bills. And yet, they're in a rebuild mode.
For the same reason that 2 years ago, after the Celtics made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they went into rebuild mode.
Right.
Because you got to go up against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's what other teams in the East do. They make it, even if they make the playoffs, even if they got a decent team, you got to go into rebuild if you want to take down the Patriots. Because once again, Tom Brady's going to be playing. Rob Gronkowski's going to be playing. The new deal timing, though, is what interested me earlier because of his comments after the Super Bowl, which Zoe immediately dismissed as him wanting a new contract. Zoe was the first one on that, and he was at that, and I think he was absolutely right. He just wants more money. That's what everybody wants. He wants to play the game, but he wants as much money as he can possibly get to do it.
Yeah.
So you don't blame him for that.
Did you ever think a guy that all he wants to do is just play football, lift weights, eat food, and hang out with girls, doesn't want to play football anymore? No. Like, he really wants to, go film movies. And I know people could put the money together to say he can make it doing other things. Does he really want to do that? No, he wants to show up, lift weights, and play ball.
But the thing was, though, knowing who he plays for and who he's going to have to do that deal with, the way he acted in the offseason, and it seems silly now, but really, at the time, him doing that Supercross interview and doing the press conference just a few feet away from where the team is having their voluntary workouts and he's not participating, that looks like a guy and sounded like a guy that wasn't all that interested in playing football. So I bought into it and I thought it was for real. And that's why I was equally shocked when it came around the next week or two after they just said it. Oh, yeah, he's going to be back and he got read the riot act and he'll be at the mandatory minicamp, that they were talking about a new contract. And really, you're going to give that guy a new contract after he was just acting like that? So I feel a little bit vindicated in that it's not done yet, and he will be at the start of training camp without that new deal in place, even though it could be close. I just thought the timing of it and the optics of it for the Patriots were going to be difficult based on how he was acting and the way this team normally behaves.
Well, and there was always the notion that they might trade him, that he's on the other side of that line where Tom's untouchable because of the owner and all the stuff, but Gronk could go into the Seymour category, or Mankins would be one of these guys who everybody loves but is still a piece that they could trade. We know they would not be better. They would not get value for him ever because of how valuable he is to them and the game changer that he can be. But it did occur to me to wake up one morning and say, well, we just shipped his butt out of here because we don't like the way things are going.
What do you think it's going to take in order to truly realize his value and to get it down on paper and to get him the checks that everybody feels that he deserves? What do you think it's going to take to get him to the point where he's getting like wide receiver money or running back money? Because we see it right now with Le'Veon Bell turning down 5 years and $70 million in Pittsburgh. Even though we don't know what the guaranteed numbers are, that's the story that the Steelers machine is putting out there to make him look like a greedy guy or an ungrateful guy, somebody who is being unreasonable. Still, that money is out of reach for, and certainly wide receiver money is out of reach for tight ends, even guys like Rob Gronkowski. Is that going to change?
I don't believe that's going to change. I don't think the leverage is there. I mean, the only leverage is not playing. Hold it out. Zoe, am I wrong?
See, no, and the big thing to me, too, you look at Le'Veon Bell, and I keep bringing that up, and the agent Le'Veon go, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers erred here. They decided to pay him running back money or offer him a deal. Yeah. Yes, that's his position, running back. That's what you're going to get offered. He's not a flex back. He's not a wide receiver. He is a running back that got offered a $14 million a year contract, 5 years, $70 million, and he said no. No, thank you. I mean, you look at some of the guys that have taken the franchise tag and played under it. It has worked out for some of them. You look at Dallas. You look at what's gone on out in L.A. with the Rams and the way they were able to lock up Aaron Donald. Then they got the safety who's also on the franchise tag. You play through that and you end up getting more guaranteed money in the long run. I understand that. Kirk Cousins, it's unique. It's a quarterback. You're not going to get these guaranteed, fully guaranteed salaries across the league, whether you're a wide receiver or running back. You're a running back. Antonio Brown is the most important person on your team, not you. That guy should be paid. If you're going to pay one guy in offense and you can't pay all three, can't pay the quarterback, can't pay the wide receiver, and you can't pay the running back that much money. Look at Deion Lewis and what he meant to the New England Patriots and that offense. Deion was fantastic. He became your all-purpose back, became your third down back. He got offered $6 million a year. Do you mean to tell me that Le'Veon Bell's worth $9 million per year than Deion Lewis? No. No. He's a good back. He's one of the best backs I've seen. But it's different. I mean, what's he done in the playoffs? Tell me the last time Le'Veon Bell's gone for $1.50 in a playoff game.
All right. Well, let me ask you this about Gronk. How many more years does he play football?
I think it's 2 to 3.
That's what I think, too.
I think it's the Brady window. It's a 3-year window, max.
Yeah,
probably. Probably. And maybe more if they allow him to continue to train. He wants to wait. And that's all dependent on what they allow him to do.
And do you have any – you've seen him, and you understand TB12, and you understand pliability, and you also understand holding your block and being impossible to bring down. Is any of that going to change for him with this new body?
No. No. He's going to be more explosive. He is. He's going
to
be –
I understand that.
You want to get him the ball in route.
What about taking him down?
He's still 6 foot six, 6 foot seven. You get in front of people, you're still going to be able to block people.
Okay.
It's not like the edge guys have gotten bigger. Really? I mean, you're really going to one-on-one block him with Clowney? No. Those are for tackles. Those are for tackles and help. He's going to be trying to block guys like Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones.
And
he can handle those
guys. How many pounds less is he playing at this year than last year or the year before?
maybe 10 pounds.
Just 10?
If
that. All right, I thought it was more.
But it's all muscle.
Okay.
It's turned all muscle.
His neck's a lot smaller.
His neck is a lot smaller. The body composition has changed.
New shirt size for him.
Yeah.
But that's the irony of it, is that he believes, and it could be proven that this less muscular, less, you know, solid body type that he's going for will be more resilient and less prone to injury because of the added pliability, whatever. I'm not buying into it. I'll believe it if and when I see it.
Yeah.
But I think either way, the window feels like 2 to 3 more years.
I think that's realistic. Yeah. And I think you could do some sort of 5-year extension where you look at it and say, okay, we're going to front load this thing. So you're going to get your money all in the first 3 years. That's what's going to show. Guys want the guaranteed money and show me the money in the first 3 years. Because if you backload stuff, we're not going to sign a deal. I saw him at the food store a couple weeks ago. He still looks huge. Like, you know, imposing, big. Not like Nate Solder did when he came in as a rookie. We're like, wow, you're a basketball player. You're not an offensive tackle. That guy packed it up and put on weight. So I think there's got a lot of things, a lot of questions about this offense. I watched a playoff game against Tennessee, as I told Hardy and the guys the other day. And there are a lot of guys that are going to step in that huddle. You know, there's no Deion Lewis, like I said. There's no Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
There's no Nate Solder. You know, so Marcus Cannon is back. So there's an influx of guys that are going to be there without Edelman again for the first 4 games. So it's going to be up to McDaniels to be creative and still juggle Julian here through the preseason.
Now, having said all that, Dan.
Yes.
No Deion Lewis, no Brandon Cooks, no Julian Edelman for the first 4 games. Is there any doubt in your mind that the March of the Tomato Cans is on again?
No, there is no doubt. I mean, again, the conferences
are going to roll.
They're so unfairly stacked right now. It's like the NBA. I mean, the NFC is just so much better than the AFC. I mean, who's going to stop in the AFC? I know we can talk Pittsburgh. I guess I refuse to talk about Jacksonville.
You have to, because it's the best defense I've seen in 10 years.
Okay.
And they're gonna beat people the way the Baltimore Ravens did with defenses for years.
They gave them a handful at Gillette Stadium.
They're not afraid of you. They aren't afraid of you. They've already smack talked you. Okay. They're the new Ravens. Get ready for them.
The issue was in doubt in the fourth quarter, Dan. Yeah. It was a ball game.
I wasn't feeling good. Really? Second half here. Yeah.
Isn't that when Tom came back from open heart surgery? That was the same game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's step aside here. We'll get
that was Belichick's joke, not mine.
I know. And Zolak is going to have to stop taking your headphones off near that microphone. You blew out tweeters all over town. People got their new car stereos in honor of our new launch here in the new studios, and you just blew out speakers all over the greater Boston area. 617-779-0985. Hardy and Frabito on Zolak and Bertrand.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5.
You think Dan's lost?
No. He's been in this building before.
He's spent a lot of time in this building.
A lot of time in the neighborhood.
A lot of time right next door, a lot of time doing radio over here, and I don't know where he is.
How do I sound to you?
You sound like $100.
I wish I had $100 in my pocket.
We're going to talk more All-Star game when Dan gets back into the studio here, specifically about a way perhaps maybe to fix.
He's coming. He came up the stairs and went the wrong way, so he's coming back this way now.
See, that's what I said. I said, do you think Dan got lost? And he did. He got lost. I mean, he wasn't wandering around crying for his mommy, but he was lost. He didn't know where he was or... he didn't know how to get back to where he wanted to go. So, yes, that qualifies, and this conversation is lost.
It's lunch hour. He's still used to going to the old Globe cafeteria.
Did you guys have a good cafeteria over there, Dan?
Our cafeteria was so good that people from here walked over there.
True story.
As did the BC High students.
Come on. Was it open to the public?
It was to them.
What?
It was quality.
Was it cheap?
It was reasonable.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Zoe.
I wouldn't bring that in here.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's two times. Dan has broken the
food new rules. I mean,
twice.
You guys are...
Two times.
You're right.
You came in here...
I forgot.
You were smuggling plums when you first came in here.
The grapes episode.
And you just brought in...
Who eats a plum? Who goes to like... Who even goes
I did not.
To
it
the
were
produce
grapes.
Place and says, hey, give me a plum.
No one would. No one eats... That's a
nice
gone
tart
food.
Plum.
People who say, take the pipe, eat plums.
I remember that when they were first Zoe, this is probably before you were in the league, because I was a young guy reading this about training camp for the Lions. It was in the 80s, and they were talking about the changeover from just go in there and eat mounds of meat and bacon and fried chicken, just anything to put on weight. And this was the first year that they had really adopted like new nutrition standards for the Detroit Lions. And I'll remember the image forever. It was pre-Mitch Albom. Mike Duffy, was he a Free Press writer back in the day, Dan? Does that ring a bell? And I think it was him who was writing about how there was this ginormous defensive lineman who came out. He was, you know, known for, you know, breaking through the line and getting after quarterbacks. And he walks up to the lunch table and he selects one perfect plum and takes that back to his table to eat. But that was, I mean, this is nutrition. The training camp has been going on for 30 years now.
You know what else they were saying? Right. You know what they were saying in 88?
Is that nightshade? Is that nightshade? Does that qualify nightshade? Like, what if you had a tomato at that
time? Why don't we talk about what you want to talk about?
I can tell you something they were saying.
Like training table stories.
Yeah, training
I told
camp.
You the one about training table. We were having breakfast and Charlie Weiss took the bread that was soaking up the fat from the bacon and made an actual sandwich, breakfast sandwich, out of the bacon fat soaked bread. That tasted pretty good.
That's the best training camp. You're never going to beat that.
I never beat that. And then when Farrah Collins got knocked out by William McGinnis.
That, I remember that. You've told me.
But he got allergic to something he ate.
Yeah.
His fist. That's what I said. Like, what happened to Farrah? Why does he have an IV? Oh, he had an allergic reaction to something. I said, yeah, Willie's fist knocked him out cold. It's great.
Over what?
Skipping line to pee for a drug test. Like, everybody's got to go when you wake up.
Knocked him out cold over that.
He told him to don't skip line, get in line, and be respectful like everybody else did. And he skipped it twice. He said, I'm only going to tell you one more time, and then I'm not going to ask you. And he laid him out.
Good reason.
Seems reasonable. Yeah. Reasonable. Yeah. Yes, Dan.
No, you were talking about the Lions training camp in 88. And I'm thinking, so that year they were saying, you know, we haven't won a playoff game since 57. And roll it ahead 30 more years, they have the Wayne Fonts 1981 or 91, I think.
Wayne Fontes,
who's also from New Bedford, right? But they won a playoff game in 91, I think.
Yes.
One win since 1957 in the playoffs.
So?
That's epic futility.
They've been to the playoffs more than that, but that was the time that they won. Amazing. And they celebrated it two autumns ago with the 25th anniversary of that playoff win.
Yeah.
You think it's bad putting up a 16-0 banner? You think it's bad that the Colts put up an AFC finalist banner? The Lions celebrated the 25th anniversary of their playoff, singular playoff win in the NFL.
Wow.
Think
that's
about
what
that.
Like, man.
You know what?
So it's over.
That's a true fan right there. Somebody who roots for a team like that. All right. So, baseball All-Star game. Now, you did not watch the Home Run Derby last night, Dan. Will you watch the game tonight?
I will. I like the game.
Okay.
I think if there's one thing in sports regarding an All-Star game, whatever type of production, I think the introductions of the baseball All-Star game is pretty cool. All right. That's the only thing that is sort of old school to me that I like about it.
And I like to get caught up in the guys that I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of All-Stars that I don't know anymore, so it helps to catch up. Why are the Brewers good? I need to see some of their guys.
Okay, well, Keith Olbermann wrote about this, and he said that, number one, there's an issue with the All-Star game in general. Who won it last year? Who was the MVP? That the sport now no longer needs the All-Star game to showcase the players. You can look up any player at any time, any at-bat. You know, it's as simple as pulling your phone out of your pocket, and you can have this stuff at your disposal. So he now talks about ways to fix this. He said the game used to be played to win because baseball's dirty little secret is that before the individual entities were neutered by Bud Selig, the American and National Leagues didn't really like each other.
No.
They were really at odds.
This is rooted back into the 50s and back into Jackie Robinson and all that stuff. The National League was much quicker to integrate the sport, and teams got ahead of it. Dodgers, Giants, Pirates, etc. And you had so many stars come into bloom in the early 60s in the National League. I mean, there was a time the four National League outfielders would be Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente, and Frank Robinson. And it's like, okay, who's on the bench this year? I mean, those guys, you know, four of the top 10 players of all time at that time. And the National League, the guys were on a mission to beat the American League's ass every year, and they did. They won like 17 out of 18. They had better players, better stars, and they had more players of color. And that really got that going. And really, then it kind of flattened out in the 70s and 80s. People didn't care as much. And then you had the unfortunate tie in Milwaukee. Bud Seeley was embarrassed in his Miller Park by having a tie. They ran out of pitchers. And it's like, okay, we got to change this. We got to change the stakes. This time it counts. And you went into that, I don't know, 15-year phase where the winning team, that team gets to be home in the World Series. And the Red Sox, all 3 years they won, they were the home team because the American League randomly had won the All-Star game that summer. I kind of liked that. Everybody thought it was stupid. It is stupid. But I liked it. It would be nice to know that there was something at stake tonight.
Yeah. Something in the line.
Something to play for.
Before you got to that point, though, there was still reason to watch it because you had the opportunity to see pitchers facing batters that you would never see. This is before there was interleague play. There was
right.
before anything. Olbermann brings up the case of the 93 game when Randy Johnson threw over the head of John Kruk.
Yes.
And no one had any idea why. They didn't have any history as pitcher versus batter. They didn't know what the trouble was between those two, but there had to have been something, and that was the only place you're ever going to see that was in the All-Star game. Randy Johnson pitching to John Kruk or in the World Series.
Well, there was a great mystery about the other league, and again, this is like old guy talk. Growing up here, we didn't have any notion of Willie Mays or Sandy Koufax or whatever. You just never saw them. There was very little national TV. There was nothing, and now you have everyone's on TV all the time, ESPN, the highlights, and the interleague play. So there's no mystery. It's like in all the other sports. You're just playing everybody. You play the Phoenix Suns, whatever. It doesn't. But in those days, there was a separation, and you really wanted to see the National League stars here, and that's gone too. So it's still, in my view, of the four, it's the best one.
Okay.
I like the skills. I like the pitcher hitter things, and it's better than, let's face it. I mean, hockey's 16 to 15. The NBA's 180 to 179. And we know what the Pro Bowl is.
All right. So you still like the game, but you have to admit that with Interleague now a thing and with these guys mingling, going back and forth, and you can see stuff all over the place. So Olbermann says that the All-Star game was designed for a different time, different leagues. All right. Throw it all away. Scrap the whole format. He said, just get rid of it and start doing something else where, let's say, for instance, you have a series of three inning games, right? Where you put together squads and you play a couple of three inning games, and the winners of those two will then face each other.
I hate that. What's the point of that?
Yeah, it's like just have a stupid like softball tournament or something.
You guys are too young to remember. Do you remember the college all-star game with the NFL champion? They used to play the NFL champion in like July or August.
I remember hearing it. Didn't they play Notre Dame? Or the Chicago Bears, I think.
The college all-stars, they would get all the best college players, the incoming rising seniors, whatever, and they would play against the NFL reigning champions, like in July or August. And the game was in Chicago, usually, I think.
Yep.
But talk about stupidity. It's like when the NFL used to have the consolation games.
It's a triple header. Three innings each, four different all-star teams, right? So two from the National League, two from the American League. You take two teams of 13 batters and five pitchers per league. The second game could be another 18-player team of fan favorites voted on by the fans who didn't make the quote-unquote real team. So that way, if you want certain guys, but you didn't give them, you get them on that team, and then they play another 18-man roster made up of these popular players, and then you have the two face-off against each other.
It's the worst idea I ever heard. Yeah.
Well, that's not the only one.
No, I'm sorry. I don't hate Keith Olbermann like a lot of people. I like Keith
Olbermann. All right. Well, we got to come up with something for the Home Run Derby, too. So there will be ideas to share with that. After Sarge's Hub headlines here, we'll continue with Dan Shaughnessy on the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, a week from Thursday, it's the first day of Patriots training camp. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Rob Gronkowski will report on time despite his ongoing contract negotiations. Some other NFL news, Seahawks safety Earl Thomas on his Instagram account asking for a contract extension, and if not, then he wants to be traded out of Seattle. Thomas coming into the final year of his four-year contract. Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight. From our nation's capital, Mookie Betts will lead off for the American League All-Stars. J.D. Martinez will bat cleanup as the designated hitter. Chris Sale, he gets a start for the American League. Max Scherzer on the mound for the National League. And the Baltimore Orioles reportedly very close to trading Manny Machado. That, according to ESPN, Dodgers, the leading contender to acquire the infielder, could happen as early as tomorrow. Headlines brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did and start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser, 866-77-LASER. I'm Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Once again, no Dan Shaughnessy as we come back here, 12:37, Tuesday afternoon. Zolak and Bertrand, live from the news studios on Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester. Sergeant on headlines, I'm in for Beetle. You want to wait till Dan gets back before we talk about that?
Nah, you just start docking his pay that he's not. You want to get to Dan? Like, you know, never. Dan throws out, just don't pay him. You know, like, you tell Dan you will dock him for the time that he misses, then his tell will be in the seat.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go get him. He's right there.
Dan's all about the
picture. No, leave him alone.
Leave him alone? Okay.
Leave him alone.
All right.
God, I can't look at you with hair. I can't.
Or put my hat on?
No, I don't know what you put on.
It's a different look, though. It's taking people a while to get used to the look.
Yeah.
Rich was shocked, too. He goes, wow. He couldn't believe it.
What was your doctor? Dr. DiStefano, right?
Dr. DiStefano, yep.
He does that IGT procedure I heard about.
Yes, he does.
Looks good, Sarge.
Thank you, Zoe. Appreciate it.
Looks like it's working.
So
so far, so good.
With all the Dr. Leonard guys were in this morning, by the way.
Oh,
no, that's great.
Wes Welker, Rob Ninkovich was here.
Sebastian Vollmer,
they're all in the studio.
Big Dumb German.
Well, what'd you say?
Big Dumb German. It's funny. I always make fun of him because, like, he's so talkative now since we got him outside of football. He's like, oh, hey, Zolak, how are you? How are you doing? Nice to see you. Okay, I'd like to come on, talk football with you. We'll tell you everything. Everything about Bill you need to know. Like, if you were only so engaging during your interviews, it's like the Nate Solder interview every Wednesday that we did. I don't want to say anything, you know, can't get in trouble. Now, like, it's like he's vaccinated with a phonograph needle. He can't stop talking. Yeah, Welker will tell you everything, too. He's always giving it the Bill. But it's like, man, you get him off the team, and now it's like they're...
Well, now they're allowed to speak.
Sure.
They've had things to say all these years.
It doesn't even look like he ever played. He looks like a basketball player. That's Vollmer.
Yeah.
Dropped all the weight. Looks great.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us once again. Dan, good to have you back.
Good to be back. So with that thing with the guys losing all the weight, that I always get a little suspicious of that. How do you get...
No, you're off the sauce.
Yeah.
The juice. Yeah.
Special sauce.
I mean...
Lose your strength, use your size. Hey, wow, look at you. I just decided to stop lifting. Really? Because normally, like, you usually tend to gain weight because you start eating and you work out
right,
less.
You're not as active. You can't burn all those calories. It generally should go the other way.
Like I've always said.
Dan, it's a phenomenon of science. Experts have studied it for years. No one really knows the answer why.
It's the head scratcher with Edelman.
No, like, it's like when
Teddy Bruschi looked like a Kate Moss.
Wendy Nix can beat him up, on the set.
You want to stay ahead of the testers. If you're staying ahead of the chemical testers, you're doing your job. It's like Edelman got busted. We busted you for something, but we're going to get back to you because there's an indicator on our test that shows something there, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, that was astounding. I love that.
Yeah. All right. But he'll be back week five and we'll all forget about it.
Yeah.
But yet you baseball people will hold it against guys like Robinson Cano.
Right. Dan has already determined he does want to change the All-Star game. He likes the game. The game is just fine.
Not a problem with the game.
You didn't watch the Home Run Derby, though.
Correct.
Zoe did not watch it. I hate watched for 15, 20 minutes.
Lack of star power for the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
I don't watch the dunk contest.
What do you mean?
Bryce
Harper was in it and won it.
That's it.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, shocker. Bryce Harper got to the final.
But it doesn't matter. If you had J.D. Martinez in there, I don't care. It's just
Judge and Stan would have helped it.
See, the two skyscrapers.
Ichiro
would have helped it.
You're not going to get them all to participate, and there's always going to be somebody missing. It's the same reason why the dunk contest doesn't mean anything anymore, because you're not getting the guys who can really perform. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to lose. Certainly don't want to lose to some rookie.
How'd Munchie do?
Who?
Munchie.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Muncy.
I don't know.
Whatever.
See, here's the part that pisses me off is you bitch about Chris Hill having to pitch. Like, people don't want Chris Hill to pitch in this game, but you want JD Martinez to be in a home run contest. It's one or the other. They're both, right? Either you want him to hit in the home run contest and you want Chris Sale to pitch. You can't say, well, we want you to hit, but we don't want you to pitch.
Well, there's a
notion. You're going to do it or not do it.
Yeah, there's a notion that the home run derby has thrown guys off their game for the next month, you know, that it's had, you know, post-derby suppression. Whereas the pitching thing, you know, inning here, it's your day to throw, boom, that'll work.
Yeah, Beadle had a couple of breakdowns to show that, no, that is not across the board accurate, and there are other guys who go on tears. And it does happen to some guys, but it hasn't happened to others. And by the way, the last two home run derby winners before this year, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
You remember their home run derbies? Me neither.
I don't
care.
Yeah, moonballs. Sure.
Stop.
Nothing like seeing a big guy go yard like that.
We didn't talk about this with you last week. Mookie Betts, his idea for fixing it?
Was?
We're going to do a skills challenge.
Skills competition.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing from the outfield contest, some kind of a throwing contest. Are you throwing to a barrel or infielders have to take...
How about running from second to home is my favorite. You'll get guys to run and slide.
Trying to throw into a barrel or infielders have to take a ground ball to your left, ground ball to your right, slow roller, and then have to throw into a screen with a box. That might be something.
Well, that'll light it up. the barrel would have sort of a cornhole, you know, feel to it.
You could play roll out the barrels and then have them rolling. the rolling barrels while you're trying to.
Yeah,
throw
I don't
it in
think
there.
The ball to the left, you know, is
the slow
really
roller.
Is it really going to work?
How do you ensure that all balls are rolling as slowly for one as to the other? The point is he's thinking of ways to fix it. And I think some kind of a skills challenge. I like the race from you have somebody start at home. And it's a race to second. At the same time, there's a runner on second who's got to run home. We'll see who wins that race. You know, it's like the skating contest for the NHL All-Star Weekend. You get an idea who's the fastest out there. We're talking about five tool players, Dan. Right now, the All-Star Weekend determines one tool hitting for power, and that's it. That's it. So how come the other tools don't get tested?
Yeah, guys be pulling hammies all over the place on the DL. Never happened.
You're an enabler for the
How would you like that, though? Your 30 base stealer gets hurt in the all-star skills competition and misses the first month and a half of the second half of the season as his team's got a 7-game lead. All of a sudden, it's vanquished to nothing.
No. Well, I pulled his hamstring.
Here's something that would really be entertaining.
You know what, Betts? Why don't you run in it?
Having guys throw home and try and get guys just simulate sack flies and let's see what Bradley can do with the ball to center field, the guy tagging up it there. Would be fun. But you're exposing guys to blow out their arms, catchers to get hurt, slides to get hurt, all that stuff. But the throw home, and again, in the old days when they had
reactivate
infield,
the catcher role where you could run the catcher over.
People would stay at Fenway or get early to Fenway to watch him take infield to see Dwight Evans throw from right field. And if you ever saw Clemente throw or Vladdy Guerrero, Jose Guillen, that's entertaining for me. Guys with cannons that can just fire it to home plate. That's fun. I would like that.
It brings to mind another Lanny line. Whenever he's watching baseball and there's a deep, fly ball and what could be a sack fly out there to right, let's see the hose, kid. Yep. Let's see it.
Absolutely.
He loves it. See, that's the type of stuff. And there's a risk of injury in anything.
Right.
There's any type of physical exertion going on with these guys. But if you get a few of them to participate, let's see what it looks like and try it 1 year or something in addition to the home run derby. You don't have to get away with it. I know some people like it. Let's just try something else.
You know what people like? Dance dates. We're going to do those next.
Oh, I guess we're going to break.
How about that?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
If you're Dapper Dan.
All right. Time now for Dan's Dates. Today... This has got to be the 17th.
Correct.
17th of July.
Yes, it is.
Way to get us into the segment, though. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was
good. I know it is. Music. Boom. Dan didn't tell me what he had, but he said this is a really good one.
Well, it's good and bad. It's just, it's active. Let's put it that
way. Good. What do you got?
So people that were born on July 17th, some of the deceased, Phyllis Diller, Jimmy Cagney, Ty Cobb. Actually, Ty Cobb died on this date. I take it back. Art Linkletter was born this date. Okay. Among the living, Prince Charles's, what did we call her? The girlfriend?
Duchess of Cornwall.
Camilla?
Yeah.
She has a title now?
She has a title.
Cornhole? That's a great game. Cornhole.
How old do you think Camilla is?
I'm going to say...
Are they married? I thought it was just his girlfriend.
No, they're married.
No, I'm going to say 72.
Hello, queen.
71.
71? Wow. 71.
Yep. Hello.
The ballpark.
Donald Sutherland, his birthday is today. He is 83.
He looks every year of it.
And he was, remember, he was in Animal House, bare ass. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, and he reaches up to get like a coffee mug and the little half robe rides up and you see his bare ass.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like no crease on the bottom. Awful.
Diane Carroll is 83. Hardy, I may not know this guy. He's identified as a rock musician, Spencer Davis.
Oh, Spencer Davis Group. Give me some lovin'.
Don't know. Okay.
You know the song Give Me Some Love.
I do. Yeah. I didn't know it was him. Okay. He is 79 today.
Could you double a T-Bone or Jim? Could you double check my work on that? Spencer Davis Group, I believe, is Give Me Some Love.
Okay.
Thank you.
Zoe, one for you. Vern Lundquist. How old do you think today?
Vern Lundquist will be, he's going to be 74.
He's 78.
78. Hello, friends. Yep.
Lucy Arnaz, daughter of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, is 67 today.
CBS.
David Hasselhoff. Let's have a little poll on that one.
Ooh. I'm going to go 63.
Still looking good in the calendars.
Somebody here in the new building today
called me Hasselhoff.
Said you look, was it Leo?
This is Spencer Davis?
Leo said, look at you.
Oh, that's good.
You're here on David Hasselhoff's birthday, and you look just like him.
Wow.
Whoa.
Said, Thank you, Leo. That's quite the compliment, though.
Leo, one of my new favorite people in the building.
Yeah. Buy him a coffee tomorrow.
Except you're much younger. How old is Hasselhoff?
He's got to be 64.
He's 66.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm still liking you.
Wheelhouse.
All right, this woman that was
just... You ever see him eat a cheeseburger at night?
No.
Oh.
No.
He had himself...
You never saw David Hasselhoff drunk eating a cheeseburger?
No, it's
laying
probably
on the floor
internet
and eating
thing
his daughter?
I need to see. Yeah.
It's amazing he's ever worked again after that.
Brian Trottier is 61 today. Angela Merkel, recently insulted by our president. She is 64.
Who's she?
The German chancellor. Well, a lot of people come into that category, but this one...
What,
this one,
German chancellor?
No, insulted by our president.
Oh.
This one makes me sad. Mark Savard is only 41.
Is he really?
You know?
Wow.
Boy, oh boy, what a career. That's just that's a tragic career. The guy was so great. Stuff that happened on this date. All right, one thing I will say, and I feel badly, but... Because you don't want to like make anyone's on the way to the airport, you might want to rethink it. It's just really.
Oh, I know what you're.
It's a bad day in aviation history. So,
when did it go down? What went down?
Okay, so date in 1996, TWA flight 800, Europe-bound Boeing 747 exploded and crashed off Long Island.
Oh, I remember that. The wreckage all.
That was 230 people on board. On this date in 2014. 298 passengers and crew aboard Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 were killed when Boeing 777 was shot down over the Ukraine.
There's not a time that I haven't flown where I'm really not nervous that first 20 minutes of flight until you get up to cruising altitude.
I never have that.
Oh, God.
But if I were, well, again, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. It's on the way to Logan. This was also the day that JFK, there was he took off the day before, but it was reported after midnight.
JFK Jr.,
yes, JFK Jr. on July 17th.
My mother-in-law and myself stood outside the mental hospital down there in Barnstable, where they brought the bodies in to be identified on the meat wagon.
Okay, so let's lighten it up a little bit.
Middle of the night, all the cops, people are lined up on the road.
Really?
Right down the Cape. Yeah, right in Vineyard Sound there.
Death and destruction continues. In 1981, 114 people were killed when suspended walkaways in the lobby of the Kansas City Hyatt. The tea dance. Hardy, you remember that?
No.
They were having a tea dance at the Hyatt where the Orioles stayed there, and all the teams stayed in this place. And the tea dances collapsed.
81?
114 people.
Tea
suspended.
Dance.
Yeah, they were having an afternoon thing.
Hello,
it was a Kansas
I like
City
to dance
thing.
With some tea.
Yeah, it was disaster. And it was during the baseball strike of 81, and one of the Kansas City Royals was bartending and he had a lot of time in his hands, and he was actually there when this happened. I cannot remember which pitcher that was. So let's try and lighten it up a little bit. On this date in 1955, Disneyland had its opening day in Anaheim.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that.
Disneyland, not Disney World.
I like Disney World better. Disneyland seems like
opened
the,
up there.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the original, whole thing.
Dan Roach refuses to go to Disneyland, you know that?
It's not the real thing. I agree with that.
Yeah, he will not go to Disneyland.
Seems smaller, seems dirtier.
Well,
I don't know.
Also Disney see it right off the highway.
Disneyland is impeccable.
You can see it off the highway, Disneyland.
Yeah, it's the real thing. It's near the Big Egg.
You like it there? I've never been there, Dan.
On this date in 1980, Ronald Reagan was nominated to be elected president. The convention was in San Diego. Mm. On this date in 1941, this is a biggie in baseball, and Hardy, you would be on this, in the year of our Lord, Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak was stopped in Cleveland
by
Ken Keltner, making plays over at third base to do that. And let's see, this was the day when Spain ceded Florida to the U.S., so that was good. We got Florida out of the deal on this date in 1821. And on this date in 1918, Russia's Tsar Nicholas and his family were executed by the Bolsheviks.
Mm. Ooh.
They were Bolshevik. And that's all I got.
Okay.
I'm looking at a couple of baseball ones here. The earliest one, these are usually good when you go this early. On this date, 17 July in the year of our Lord, 1890, for the first time in baseball history, which was what? The game was all of 6 months old. 200-300-game winners are opponents as Tim Keefe of the Giants. That does not sound like an 1890 name.
How did they put all those wins together before this time?
Tim Keefe of the Giants faces Pittsburgh's Jim Pud Galvin.
Pud Galvin.
In a players' league matchup.
Who could be called you, Pud?
New York beats the Burgers 8-2 in the first of four star confrontations between the two future members of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Pud's in the Hall of Fame.
Who could forget?
No, Pudge or Pud?
Pud. They both
Pud.
Are.
Hey, Jim Pud Galvin. Here comes old Pud to the mound.
I wonder why they nicknamed him Pud.
Well, you know, they say for Randy Johnson, how he got his nickname Big Unit.
Right.
Not because of any physical characteristics, but because if you were to use that
Don't
terminology.
Talk to me. Don't you talk to me.
Because he was such a huge.
Right.
Unit to people, and that's how he got his nickname.
He's one of the nicest guys in Cooperstown.
Randy
Johnson. Really?
Yeah. To you.
Yeah, love him.
Of your fellow Hall
of Famer. Is he really ugly in person?
Oh, he is. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a photographer now. He's got a second career, and he goes around the world taking pictures and wants to talk about photography.
Sounds like a blast.
While I'm thinking of it, my best man at my wedding, my best friend from back home, Steve Hendershot, his son, Fisher Hendershot, will be at Cooperstown, I believe, during the Hall of Fame ceremonies for the Little League Baseball World Series. I think it happens at the same time. When is it coming up? A couple few
July
weeks?
July 27, 8, that weekend.
I think he's going to be out there, and I told
it's
him
next
to,
Friday,
I,
Saturday.
I told him you should look him up. You actually wished him a happy birthday once during your Dan's Dates segment.
That. Yeah, so, well, tell him I'll be out there.
Do you ever catch those little league games? Are they close by to where you
They're
are?
They're a few miles out of town, but it's a nice complex. Good deal.
All right. Very good. Dan, thank you.
Dan. See you, buddy.
Good
next
stuff.
Week. Loving this place.
Dan, it's going to be a problem. We think Wiggy's going to be a problem being here in the new building. The fact that Dan is now surrounded by people, and here's something about Dan. He's a very social guy. He is not one of these, you know, retiring. Well, no, Dan will talk to anybody about anything, and he knows a lot of people, and he spent some time in this building, and we lost him twice today during the show. He was not back in time for the segment.
Yeah, people thought I was going to get lost, but I never got lost.
I think he's running for office.
I pulled right in, found the place perfectly, and...
Dan's out there, you know, walking the halls. He's talking to people. Yeah. He's
kissing
shaking
babies.
Hands, all that stuff.
Yep. He seems comfortable here. Brought food in, brought drink in the studio.
And he get out of here right at 1 o'clock.
I know, but he's going to be a problem going forward. That's my prediction.
He didn't even realize he was tweeting Dan's Dates at 1:45 today.
He did say 1:45, yeah.
You idiot. Like, messed the time up and everything.
Can we all calm down now, is what I'm going to ask, Zoe.
Yes.
We can. And you don't even know about what. Can we all relax based on what we hear about who's going to be attending training camp, who's going to be there, who's going to be on board? Can everybody just relax now? That's the question going forward. In 90 seconds.
I'd be more relaxed as a Patriots fan than a Steelers fan. Okay. How about that?
90 seconds, no commercials. Sarge has the headlines. It's our fourth and final hour coming up.